are going through the Gospel of Mark passage by passage as we open the Word of God. And today our passage involves a parable. And we're going to learn truth from the parable itself, and we're also going to learn truth from a discussion that happened about the parable. Pay attention to both as we read. I invite you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Our text is verses 1 through 20. Right now we're going to read verses 1 through 13. If you are able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of the one true living God. We know this is His holy, inspired word to us. Again, He began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about Him so that He got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And He was teaching them many things in parables. And in His teaching, He said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and in yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Let's pray together. Father God Almighty, we thank you for your holy word. Thank you for this parable before us. And we pray, Father, that by your grace, by your power, we all would have ears to hear. And that we would receive this word. That your word would enter deeply into our hearts. And that we would produce great fruit unto your glory, unto the advancement of your kingdom. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, I'm calling my first point this morning the passage. And the passage I'm referring to is the verses we're looking at this morning, as well as the upcoming verses. I'm referring to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 32, most of chapter 4. Concerning this passage, I wanted to point out that it's both similar to and different than the passages we've already looked at in the Gospel of Mark. It is similar because we're again seeing a great crowd gathered around Jesus. People are coming from all over the place to hear him and to be healed by him or to have others healed by him. And in this passage, we again see Jesus teaching from a boat. Being in a boat helped with crowd control and also with speaking volume. Being in the boat enabled Jesus to address the great crowd so everyone could hear him. I read an interesting comment this week. I'll read to you. This is from a commentary written by James Edwards. Quote, "Exactly where Jesus taught cannot be said for sure, but a possible location is a natural amphitheater situated halfway between Capernaum and Tabgha to the south, where the land slopes gently down to a lovely bay. Israeli scientists have verified that the Bay of Parables can transmit a human voice effortlessly to several thousand people on shore." So even though we don't know exactly where Jesus was located, we can safely conclude that the Creator used his creation to proclaim the word to a great crowd of people. And we have seen him do that before in this gospel. That's what's similar about this passage. What is different is that this is the first time in the gospel we are told what Jesus taught. And that doesn't actually happen very often in the Gospel of Mark. The other gospels, Matthew, Luke, John, contain more of the teaching of Jesus than Mark does. Mark, I remind you, is an action account of the life of Jesus. Mark is telling us what Jesus did, how people responded, what happened. And so most often when we hear Jesus speak in this gospel, he's responding to a question or responding to opposition. Rarely do we hear the content of his teaching. But this is one time we do hear the content of his teaching. This passage is significant for that reason, and the passage begins with and contains other parables. So this is Mark's way of revealing to us that Jesus often taught in parables. And what we're going to do now is look at the parable before us. That's my next point, the parable, which is the first several verses in the passage. Concerning the parable, I first ask you to notice that the parable begins and ends with a call to hear. I'm showing you that on the screen. I'm showing you verses 3 and 9, the beginning and the end of the parable. And the Greek word, the word listen, is the same word translated hear two times in verse 9. In verse 3, the word is an imperative, a command. And the word is commanding everyone to listen. Greek verbs inform you whether the subject is singular or plural. The subject of listen in verse 3 is plural. We could translate it this way: you all listen. When I was in Greek class, we would sometimes joke that it is a southern verb. Hey, y'all, listen. Y'all listen. It's commanding the people, plural, to hear, to listen. And then the last hear is also an imperative. But now the southern ending is gone. The meaning is you, single person, listen. Imagine you are in a classroom and Jesus is teaching. First, Jesus addresses the entire classroom. He says, now all of you here, I want you to listen to me. And then after saying that, he starts to walk around the classroom, and he starts to look at each of you in the eyes. He takes his time, and he starts to look at each of you in the eyes. And then he says, you, listen. 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 You there, listen. He starts to address the individual. If you have ears, listen. Singular in this case. That's how the parable starts and ends, which clearly informs us that an important application to the parable is to hear, to listen. So let's obey. Let's listen to the parable. What I will next explain is that the parable contains a farming scene. The sower is a farmer. Now, the scene painted by Jesus might seem a bit strange to farmers today. You farmers here in the valley, you don't scatter seeds all over the place. You don't plant trees all over the place. You very meticulously, using GPS, lay drip lines and plant everything in straight lines with a certain distance between each tree or seed or plant or whatever it is you're farming. You don't scatter seeds all over the ground. But farmers in the days of Jesus didn't have GPS. So this scene was not as strange to the people listening to Jesus the first time. Let's think about the parable. Jesus is telling us about a farmer who sowed seed everywhere with the aim of getting the work done in a timely manner and getting the biggest harvest he could. The area he was farming had different types of soil. Some of it was probably plowed by him. Other areas he could not plow, and he was sowing by hand. No machines to help him. He was sowing by hand. And he scattered the seed everywhere. He sowed generously. He used lots of seeds. He scattered it all over the place. Some seeds would fall on a path which was not plowed. It was hard packed down soil. Other seeds would fall among the rocks which he was not able to remove, and other seeds among thorns. None of those seeds would last. Those seeds would die. They would not produce a harvest, and the farmer knew that. But his goal was to sow many seeds in a timely manner to bring about the biggest harvest he could. He wanted to use all of his land. He wanted to find every space where the seeds could produce a harvest. And just like we might think, you really need to be more careful with your use of seeds. Well, maybe even the farmers at that time listening to Jesus thought the same. You know, you shouldn't be so reckless with your seeds. Don't just scatter it all over the place. But here's what we need to see. In the parable, his method of planting actually has an amazing return. Verse 8 says, some seeds fell into good, rich, plowed soil, and some of those seeds then produced 30-fold, and some of those seeds produced 60-fold, and some of those seeds even produced 100-fold. You can lose a lot of seeds and still come out ahead if you're producing 30, 60, 100-fold. Let's think about that by changing the farming scene to an investing scene. I think it will be easier for us to grasp this. Imagine we have $100 to invest, and we scatter the $100 around the stock market. And since the parable talks of four soils, three being bad, let's just say $75 of our $100 fail. It's totally lost in the stock market. The parable doesn't actually mean that 75% of the seeds don't make it, but we'll take the worst case scenario. $75 fail. Only $25 produce for you. Let's say 10 of those dollars produce $30 each, 30-fold. That would be $300. And another $10 produce $60 each, 60-fold. That would be $600. And five of the dollars produce $100 each. Well, 100-fold, that would be $500. Instead of $100, you now have $1,400. Not bad, right? So let's say you keep $1,000 and you invest $400. Now, using the same method, you get the same result, 75% of your money, $300 fail in the stock market, but 25%, $100 does well. $40 produce 30 each. That's $1,200. And another $40 produced $60 each. Well, that's $2,400. $20 produced 100 each. That's $2,000. Now you've got $5,600. Let's say you keep 4,600 seeds and start to invest $1,000. You get the same return and end up with $14,000. So you keep $10,000 and invest $4,000. Again, you get the same return. You end up with $56,000. You keep $46,000, invest $10,000, and you get the same return. Then you end up with $140,000. If you keep all of that, you now have over $200,000. Not bad. How many of us would gladly invest $100 if we knew we could end up with that return 5 years later? The sower in this parable has this amazing return. He's doing well. And Jesus says, now, he who has ears to hear, listen. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Now, I'm going to call the next point in my sermon the purpose of the parable, because in this passage we have a discussion about the purpose. The discussion occurs between Jesus and the 12 apostles and other disciples who are close to him. Not the great crowd, but now there's this small group of people. The small group asks Jesus about the parables. And notice that parables is plural. The disciples had heard other parables. The discussion wasn't just about this one parable of the sower. The discussion with Jesus was about parables, plural. If you read Matthew's account, which is in Matthew chapter 13, you'll read this statement. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Again, note the plural. The disciples were asking about parables in general. Why do you use parables? And Jesus explained to them his use of parables by explaining to them the parable of the sower. So the purpose of the parable of the sower is to help us understand the purpose of all the parables. And we'll see, understand the purpose of the word. Look at what Jesus says to them in verse 13. He says, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" The parable of the sower gives us foundational understanding about parables as well as all the word of God and the spread of the gospel, the building of the kingdom. So let's dig into Jesus' explanation of the parable and see that. His explanation starts in verse 14. And I ask you to first of all notice how often Jesus uses the word hear. Remember, Jesus bookend the parable with a command to hear, to listen. Well, in his explanation, the word hear is used four times. That's an important note. Every time Jesus explains one of the soils, he uses the word hear. Four times that word is in his explanation, one for each soil. So this parable concerns both sowing and hearing. It's about sowing, it's about hearing. More specifically now, we can say this, the parable concerns both the spread of the gospel and the hearing of the gospel. I say gospel because notice that Jesus begins by saying the sower sows the word. Jesus is telling us that, listen, in my parable, the seed stands for the word of God, the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Jesus is telling us that the gospel is sown by scattering it, by proclaiming it all over the place. The gospel is sown generously. The gospel is proclaimed everywhere. The seed in the parable is the gospel, the word of God. It is scattered everywhere to all people. It is scattered in all places that seem ready for the gospel. And it is also scattered in all the places that seem hard and rocky and not ready at all for the gospel. But it's scattered there as well. We just scatter it all over the place. And the goal is getting this great harvest. More specifically, the aim is to bring in all the harvest. There's not one bit of harvest that's going to be missed. We're going to bring it all in by scattering the word all over the place. Now, with that understood, let me ask you this question. Now, who is the sower? Answer, anyone who spreads the word, the gospel. For instance, Jesus was a sower. When he taught the great crowds of people, he was being a sower. He was spreading the gospel. And the apostles were sowers. Back in chapter 3, we read that Jesus would send the apostles out to preach. They were sowers. If you tell the gospel to your neighbor, you are a sower. When people from word and deed go out and help others with disaster relief, and they tell people about Jesus, who he is and what he has done to save them from their sins, then they are being sowers. When parents keep their baptismal vows and read the Bible to their children and point out to their children their sin and explain that Jesus came to save them from their sins, well, they are being sowers in the lives of their children. A sower is anyone who spreads, who proclaims the word of God, the gospel. With that stated, Jesus goes on to explain that the parable is a picture of what happens when the gospel is sown, when it's spread around. Think of the great crowd of people Jesus had been teaching. Or think about ministries like Word and Deed going out to the various places in the world. Or more applicable, think about this very sanctuary this morning. When a great crowd hears the gospel, some of it falls on hard ground. The path that has been packed down by many feet walking on it. This is a picture of people for whom the proclamation of the gospel reaches their ears. The sound is there. It's in their outer ear. They can hear it if they want to. They can physically grasp it. But they don't want to. They're not listening. Satan has them in his grips. They love the world. They love all the worldly philosophies that Satan has spread around. They are enslaved by Satan, and they don't want to hear the good news about Jesus. They don't listen at all. Their ears are completely stopped against the gospel. It just stays there at their outer ear. Dear friends, that happened as Jesus taught the crowds of people. There were people who were physically hearing what Jesus said, but they weren't listening at all. Think of the Pharisees who were angry at Jesus. They were building against him arguments in their minds. The words of Jesus were, the words were physically there in their ears, but they were really not listening. And in churches all over the world today, that is happening as well. It might be happening in this sanctuary today. I never know. Someone might be sitting here or maybe live streaming. And the Word of God, it's entering your ear. You're hearing me. But the mind, and more importantly, the heart, it's miles away. The Word of God isn't sinking in at all. That's one scenario. And as the gospel is sown, some of it falls on rocky ground. That means it enters the ears and it has an effect. It has an effect because the gospel is beautiful. You can't help but like the sound of the gospel if you listen to it even just a little bit. The gospel is a treasure. It's about the forgiveness of your sins, sins that weigh us down with guilt and shame. And it's about receiving everlasting life instead of death. It's about seeing the glories of God and being with Him and enjoying Him forever. The gospel is about abundant living. The gospel sounds awesome. When the gospel enters the ears, even just a little, it has an effect. It gives a sense of joy because the gospel is joyful. Who doesn't want to be forgiven and set free from guilt and shame and live forever in paradise with God? But when it barely enters the ears and it doesn't go much farther, when it doesn't reach the heart, well, then it's easily forgotten and discarded. Jesus says when tribulation and persecution come along, people who barely hear the gospel, well, they just give it up. If some of your friends will no longer be your friends because of the gospel, well, you might give it up. If people or professors in a university classroom give you a hard time because of your beliefs, you might give them up. If people from a nearby village come and burn down the church and threaten to burn down homes because of the gospel, well, it might not sound very good anymore. I don't know about this. So it's discarded. Think about Jesus. Soon he would be crucified. And Christians would be persecuted. Well, what would happen then? How many people would continue to follow him? Well, not many. The gospel had not truly and deeply been heard by many people. That kind of hearing happened as Jesus sowed the gospel. And it happens today as well. And in the parable, we also see the gospel sown among thorns. Jesus explains that means it's heard, and it again sounds great, but over time it gets overshadowed, choked out by the things of this world, the enticement of wealth and pleasure. The gospel sounds great at first, but then you realize that, wow, the gospel calls us to die to self. The gospel calls us to serve. It calls us to be nice to people and consider others more important than ourselves, even when they're wicked people. That's hard. Do I really want to be nice to those people who are not very nice to me? I don't know about this. The gospel calls us to use our God-given talents to serve, and that can put us way out of our comfort zone. The gospel calls us to turn away from the sins we enjoyed. We are called to say no to immorality. We are called to say no to greed. We are called to say no to pride. The gospel calls us to come and gather to worship Christ every week. Not just once a month. No, the gospel calls us to gather together every week on the day God has given us to worship Him, keep the Sabbath holy. The gospel sometimes calls us to go to a foreign land. And the gospel calls us to give up our hard-earned money. When some people realize that, Well, the gospel stops sounding so good, and it's discarded. That happened in the lives of people Jesus taught. And it easily happens in the lives of people who attend church on Sunday mornings like this. Could be happening right here in this sanctuary. In the parable, there are three types of soil that ultimately do nothing. No harvest. No continual gospel transformation in that life. And hence, no life. And so at times, you might wonder, you know, is proclaiming the gospel effective? Is proclaiming the word of God effective? The disciples were wondering about parables. Why parables? Can people even understand parables? Don't we need to make the word of God more palatable? Isn't going through a parable like this on a Sunday morning in a sermon, is that really effective? Is telling your neighbor about Jesus effective? Are all the rules of Christianity that come with Christianity, the law, all that, the law of God, is that effective in building Christianity? Is reading all the Bible stories to your children effective? Is going to the abortion mill and telling people about Jesus effective? What are we doing really to build a kingdom? Well, in this parable, we see that some indeed will discard it. Some will not hear and really understand the word of God. Some will hear and give it up. That's clearly shown in this parable. Some will reject it. Some will be completely hard to it. Whether it's a parable or a proverb, or a historical narrative, some are not going to receive it. They may hear, but they will not understand. They will not bear any fruit. That's going to happen. But in the parable, we also see that when the word of God is sown, when it is declared, when the word of God is spread all over the place, some will hear and fully understand and fully receive this word of God. In the hearts of some of the people, the word will bring about repentance of sin and an understanding of who Jesus is, that he came to provide complete freedom from sin and separation from God, to reconcile us to God. The gospel will be heard, it will be received, and it will bear great fruit, meaning sin will be turned away from. The law will joyfully be received. The law will become a delight, a light for one's path. The fruit of the Spirit will begin and increase in this person's life. And think about this, this person who hears and fully receives the gospel, that person will start to what? Tell other people about Jesus. Look at what Jesus has done in my life. Well, all my sins are forgiven. This is unbelievable. I got to tell you about Jesus. And let's just think about that. Let's say I preach the word of God to 100 people. Of that 100 people, only 25 hear and fully receive the gospel. Sounds like bad results, but it's not. 10 of those people tell others, and during the course of their lives, they tell others. And during the course of their lives, 30 others believe. Think of children and grandchildren and some of their neighbors believing. Well, that ends up being 300 people. 10 of the people tell others, and over the course of their lives, 60 others believe, each one. That's 600 people. 5 of the people become missionaries, and they each tell others, and each of them see 100 others believe. That's 500 people. That's 1,400 people. And we could go on with our numbers and quickly end up with 216,000 people believing. Dear friends, think about Jesus. When Jesus ascended to the right hand of God the Father, he had 12 apostles and some other disciples. Not that many people were following him after his crucifixion. But consider what has happened since that day. People all over the world have believed. Part of the message of this parable is that proclaiming the word of God is effective. We might wonder, now, how can a parable be effective? Or we might wonder, how can other parts of the Bible be effective? What about the harsh passages about hell or the parables about hell? How can those be effective? Don't we have to make the word more easy to understand and more palatable, more fitting with the culture? Jesus, why are you speaking in parables? Why is this your methodology? How can this work to build your kingdom? We got to change this up. We got to make this more exciting or something. Something's got to happen here. Part of the message of the parable is that proclaiming the word of God is effective. Think about this. Throughout the parable, the sower and the seed did not change. You've got a sower who spreads the word all over the place. The sower, the word, they do not change. And while the sower sees a lot of rejection, many don't end up believing. The sower also sees that some do hear and believe. And over time, again, the results are many. So one purpose of the parable is to show us that the proclamation of the word, the spread of the gospel is effective. It might not seem like it, but it is. So here's some application for us. I'm going to give 2 points of application. Here's one point. Trust that the generous proclamation of the word of God will bring in the harvest. Think about this. All the sower does in the parable is spread the word of God. It's not the sower that makes the word effective. The sower doesn't have to make the word attractive. The sower doesn't have to add a light show to the word of God. The sower doesn't have to give just the right argument along with the word of God. And the sower especially doesn't have to change the seed, the word of God, to make it grow. It would be wrong for the sower to change the seed and make it more palatable. That would kill the seed. The sower doesn't even have to avoid certain soil. The sower's job is simply to generously spread the word of God all over the place in all kinds of soil, trusting that the word of God will be effective, will produce the harvest. So let's understand that we simply need to trust the word of God and spread it. The disciples didn't understand why Jesus was speaking in parables. It was confusing to them. They were not quite sure what to make of all the parables, so they didn't think the parables would accomplish much, but the parables are part of the Word of God. And whether the Word is a parable or a proverb or an apocalyptic vision or a passage on hell or a passage about the cross of Christ, the Word proclaimed is effective. When the word is being spread, some will not believe. Sometimes many will not believe, but some will. And do you know why it's effective? Why is the word effective? Listen to the words of Jesus. Listen to what he says to his apostles and disciples, to those who do believe. Verse 11, he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." To you this has been given. Dear friends, the word of God is effective because God makes it effective. Salvation is a gift from God from start to finish. Parables are effective because God makes them effective. All aspects of the word of God are effective because God makes it effective. It is God who prepares soil. It is God who prepares hearts to hear and receive and believe. If you understand this parable, it is because God has opened your ears to hear and receive and believe. Salvation is entirely a gift. It is the work of God. Therefore, we can spread the word with confidence, knowing some will believe because God will be gracious. So trust that the generous proclamation of the word of God will bring in the complete harvest. That's one application. The other application is to hear and receive the word. And that's the foremost application. Dear friends, the fact that salvation is a gift from God doesn't mean you can kick back and ignore the word and wait to see what God does. Listen, you are responsible for hearing and believing. It's a gift from God, but you are responsible for hearing and believing. Jesus begins his parable saying, listen. Jesus ends his parable saying, listen. That is what all of us are being commanded to do. Listen. Maybe throughout this week, God has been preparing your heart, plowing up your heart to be good soil, ready to hear and respond to this word today. Maybe you needed to be encouraged about trusting the proclamation of the word of God today. Maybe you needed to be convicted about the hardness or rockiness of your own heart. Maybe God has been working on you, bringing you to this sermon to open your heart to his word for the first time. Listen and fully receive the word of God. Listen and fully receive the message, the gospel. Love Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Trust in his word. And then go out and tell others about Jesus. That's the way of the kingdom. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, we're grateful. Grateful for the gospel. Grateful for your written word, your revealed word to us, your inspired word to us. Thankful that through your Spirit you take the word and make it effective in the hearts of people. We thank you that you are bringing in a harvest of people. We thank you that you have graciously allowed us to be part of the work. Father, as a church, we pray that you would always keep us trusting in your word and your ways. Keep us faithful to your ways. Keep us faithful to proclaiming the word of God with boldness. And Father, we long to see that harvest brought in unto your glory. We ask you to do it. And Father, we also pray right now this morning for the hearts of all the individuals part of this service, whether here or live streaming. Father, we pray that you'd work graciously in our hearts, make our hearts open to whatever it is we need to respond to know, hear, and respond to. Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't yet truly know you as Lord and Savior, we pray right now that you would touch that person's heart. Open that person's heart to who you are. Bring them into your kingdom. And Father, if others of us are just struggling with aspects of your word, aspects of the work of the church, the kingdom work, we pray that you'd give us what we need. Continue to transform our hearts. And we pray that you'd make us all more fruitful. Help all of us to be more thoughtful about how we're helping to spread the gospel in all the various places around us. Help us to do so. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we're going to continue to respond. We're going to sing a song called Lord, Till the Soil Within Our Hearts. This is a great response to the parable that we've heard. So let's continue to pray. Let's continue to worship by singing this song together. Let's stand as we sing.
When thorns
Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.